Hi, and welcome to another riveting show where we bring you all the pieces of information you need from thriving and breakthrough companies doing amazing things out there so that you can do your due diligence as we navigate these very interesting and somewhat volatile markets at the moment. I'm Kamel Fisher. Today, we'll be spotlighting Solagenix, and with me, I have President and CEO, Mr. Chris Shaver. Chris, welcome.
Carmel, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Very excited to learn more about Solagenix and of course about the mission and vision and the forecasted growth out there. So as a start, tell us more about Solagenix. Who are you? What do you do for anyone who may not have tapped into this information just yet?
Of course, Solagenix is a late clinical stage biopharmaceutical company focused on developing, commercializing, and products to treat rare diseases in areas of unmet medical need. And I think what makes us unique is we have two areas of focus. We have a specialized biotherapeutics focused on small molecules and oncology and inflammation, and a separate public health solutions segment of our business that's been funded entirely by the U.S. government to date in excess of $60 million of non-dilutive funding over the years. And that segment of our business is focused on predominantly heat-stable vaccines for emerging infectious disease and bio threats. So we've really been able to build out a more robust pipeline than you would typically see for a company our size with multiple shots on goal to mitigate risk.
Wonderful. Obviously, we're seeing major changes in political landscape, potential shifts in federal research priorities. How will Solagenix adapt the funding strategy to ensure continued advancement of this promising pipeline?
Well, as you've noted, there are some uncertainties right now. So what we've done, what we do is we focus on what we can control, right? And that is our primary programs that we're actively enrolling in. And we have three clinical studies that are doing just that, one confirmatory phase three. So really focusing time, resource, effort there. And if additional non-dilutive government funding comes that can support our public health business segment, then we will continue to advance that. But as you know, in times like this, you need to kind of focus in on those things you can get across the finish line as quickly as possible.
100%. And you mentioned, the funding that you've had, and your company has successfully secured government grants in the past, right? And so with changing times, can you talk about any alternative funding channels that you'll be developing to maintain this momentum, especially for programs beyond the HyBright? If you can speak to that.
Sure. Well, beyond the capital that we've raised that are pursuing or supporting, I should say, the clinical studies we're pursuing, we are always submitting government grants, contracts to get that additional funding. So that remains still a piece of our business that we really focus on. But another thing that we're really focused on in the near term is business development opportunities and being and looking at all strategic options. And as you would imagine, you have a late stage pipeline like ours and active programs, and especially a confirmatory study in a rare cancer, there is interest. So we are in a number of discussions. I make no promises where they'll go, but at the end of the day, those discussions can range anywhere from regional partnership to M&A.
We'll be keeping a close eye on that. But moving ahead now to the various phases you're in with HyBright, phase two studies in SGX-302 psoriasis. Tell us more about how you're actively enrolling patients, what the key milestones are that investors should be looking out for in 2025, and of course, how might these advance Solagenix's overall growth strategy?
A number of key catalysts coming up, as you alluded to, with our two phase two studies. One is SGX-302 in psoriasis. The other is SGX-945 in Behçet's disease, another rare disease. And those are actively enrolling patients. We expect top line results later this year, probably sometime in the second half. And then, more importantly, or I would say because it's later phase, is our confirmatory phase three study with a product called HyBright in cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, which is a rare and chronic cancer. And there we're actively enrolling patients in that study as well. We expect top line results there mid-2026, could be a little bit sooner based on enrollment. But what I will also do a little bit later this year, probably mid-year 3Q, is provide an enrollment update. That way, I can give everyone a sense of where we are at this important study. And the interesting with this study that makes it so important is that it's a second confirmatory phase three. So we did one study already, a phase three study that was positive, and the health authorities asked for longer durations of treatment. So one thing we did in the second confirmatory study that we're actively enrolling in now is we're providing that longer duration of treatment, treating up to 18 weeks. And we're pretty confident in this study because we already had supportive studies, including an investigator-initiated study that we recently announced some data from just the other day that looked at a time point at 18 weeks and showed how profound the response was. So it gives us a high level of confidence that the study can be successful, and that's what we're focused on. So when you have a study like this that's de-risked with the high probability of success, you obviously want to execute and get that done as quickly as you can. And it's in an area of unmet medical need, rare disease, very important to patients, and we want to get this product to the patients that so desperately need it.
Absolutely. Let's move on to a little bit of a global expansion strategy that we may be seeing Solugenics tap into with the formation of your European Medical Advisory Board. Can you share more with us about the broader global strategy and potentially how this may see you contributing to the company's future success in terms of international market?
Sure. So the phase three hybrid study that I just spoke about, as I noted, is enrolling. It's enrolling patients both in the US and Europe. Therefore, forming a European Medical Advisory Board of CTCL or cutaneous T-cell lymphoma experts, similar to what we had done in the US, was extremely important, not only to advancing the trial, but to advancing our global strategy of securing regulatory approvals and commercialization worldwide with success in the confirmatory phase three. So this gets back to what I was speaking of, is not only beyond the regulatory elements, but that pursuit of business development, it really heightens the awareness of a study that's being conducted and the potential for partnerships throughout the world. And that, as I noted, is a priority of ours.
Awesome. And touching on the partnerships, how do you see these evolving? If you can just add more to that conversation and what role it might play in supporting, again, the pipeline. If there's anything more specific that is public that you could speak to or allude to, that'd be great.
There is not, unfortunately, right? That's a loaded question, so I have to be careful. We are in a number of confidential discussions, as you would imagine. Where those go, I do not make any promises, but we do have a bit of data, not only in our phase three, but in the other programs as well, right? There's a lot of data generated here, and we are in the process of having discussions about that, and we'll see where it goes. But ideally for us, securing a partner, especially with these market conditions, that are at play is important because it provides a source of non-dilutive funding similar to the government grants and contracts. And it allows for partnership and expansion beyond the US into other areas of the world. So that is important and something that, as I noted earlier, is a priority of ours. I wish I could provide more granularity there, but I must be careful.
Of course, of course. And we'll be here as soon as you're ready to disclose that information to then take it to our audience. Now, just to kind of close off, tell us more about you, Chris, and as the leader of Solugenics, tell us more about your leadership philosophy. And as Solugenics is advancing multiple clinical programs simultaneously, what would you like investors to know about how you position yourself, your philosophy, your approach for the company's long-term success in this rare disease and specialty pharmaceutical landscape?
Well, Carl, I've been doing this quite some time, 35 years in the pharma biotech industry. Started my career in big pharmaceutical companies and then moved into biotech, where I was involved in startup companies, actually co-founded a company of my own that I had a successful exit from, and looking to do it again here at Solugenics, build a company that is important to patients and to shareholders. And I've built a seasoned management team and board along with that. And Really, what it really comes down to the focus of really execution and timely execution. And that's a priority of ours. That's what we focus on, especially with that 80 patient confirmatory phase three study I spoke of, where we believe we have a high probability of success, given that every study we've ever conducted to date with hybrid has been positive. Also, it's a focus on those pipeline programs behind that phase three, those two phase two studies that I noted in psoriasis and Behçet's disease, getting those to completion as quickly as possible. And then, as we most of our discussion, aggressively pursuing all those strategic options or opportunities I spoke of. In the near term, it's business development, and that's where our priority is. And as with every biotech company, at the end of the day, it's also effectively being able to manage cash burn and extend cash runway. And currently, our cash takes us into the first quarter of 2026. So, if we cannot secure a timely business development deal, we would look to potentially raise capital later in the year, probably sometime in late 2Q, early 3Q. But the thing I will note here that any capital that we would raise would primarily focus on completing the phase three study. Because that is really the focus. That is the near-term event. That is the potential transformational event for Sologenix. So it comes down to really getting the capital needed to get that one across the finish line and to the patients that need it.
Wonderful. This has been a great conversation, very enlightening. With me was Chris Shaver, President and CEO of Sologenix Inc. They are listed as SNGX. I'm Carmel Fisher. You stay tuned for more.
Brought to you, as always, by The Harvest Podcast, available anywhere you listen to podcasts.